With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to The Forgotten Origins of Fairy Tales, the podcast where I look into the truth behind our best loved children's stories. This week I look into one of our newest fairy tales, only dating back to the early 19th century. It's also, without a doubt, my favourite Disney film, probably because it's uncharacteristically dark for Disney. This week is all about The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So, as far as brief summaries go, which is what I usually do, I'm going to summarise the Disney film, because that is by far the best known version, and then go into how it differs from the original. So, the year is 1462, and a group of gypsies sneak illegally into Paris, but are ambushed by Judge Claude Frollo, Paris's Minister of Justice. A gypsy woman in the group attempts to flee with her crying baby, but as she reaches the doors of Notre Dame, pleading for sanctuary, Frollo snatches the bundle of what he believes to be stolen goods, fatally kicking her backwards against the cathedral stairs. Frollo opens the bundle and discovers a deformed child, who he reluctantly agrees to raise, naming him Quasimodo, which in French means half-formed, and hides him away in the cathedral's bell tower. 20 years later, Quasimodo has developed into a kind yet isolated young man, though still deformed and now with a pronounced hunchback. He lives inside the cathedral. And despite Frollo's warnings that he could be shunned for his deformity, Quasimodo attends the Festival of Fools and is celebrated for his awkward appearance, only to be humiliated by the crowd after two of Frollo's guards start a riot. Esmeralda, a kind gypsy, intervenes by freeing the hunchback. Esmeralda then follows Quasimodo inside the cathedral, only to be followed by Captain Phoebus of Frollo's guard. Phoebus refuses to arrest her for alleged witchcraft inside Notre Dame and instead tells Frollo that she has claimed asylum inside the church. Esmeralda then finds and befriends Quasimodo, who helps her escape Notre Dame. All this while, Frollo has developed lustful feelings for Esmeralda, and when he discovers that she's escaped the cathedral, he orders a city-wide search for her, killing anyone who stands in his way. Horrified, Phoebus openly defies him, and Frollo orders his execution. But while fleeing, Phoebus is struck by an arrow and falls into the Seine. But luckily, Esmeralda rescues him and takes him to Notre Dame for refuge. Quasimodo helps her care for the soldier, but is broken-hearted to discover she and Phoebus have fallen in love, as Quasimodo has also developed feelings for the gypsy girl. Frollo then returns to Notre Dame later that night and discovers that Quasimodo helped Esmeralda. He bluffs, saying that he knows about the Court of Miracles, the gypsy hiding place, and intends to attack it at dawn with 1,000 men. Using the map Esmeralda gave him, Quasimodo and Phoebus find the court and warn the gypsies, only for Frollo to follow them and capture all the gypsies present. Frollo then prepares to burn Esmeralda at the stake after she rejects his advances, but just in time Quasimodo rescues her and brings her to the cathedral. Phoebus releases the gypsies and rallies the people of Paris against Frollo and his men, who are trying to break into the cathedral. Quasimodo then pours molten lead into the streets to ensure no one enters, but Frollo successfully manages to get inside. He pursues Quasimodo and Esmeralda to the balcony, where he and Quasimodo fight, and both fall over the edge. Frollo falls to his death in the molten lead, while Phoebus catches Quasimodo on the lower floor. Afterwards, Quasimodo accepts that Phoebus and Esmeralda are in love and gives them his blessing. The two encourage him to leave the cathedral into the outside world, where the citizens hail him as a hero and accept him into society. So, like I said, this tale is relatively new. It doesn't have any ancient or mysterious heritage. It was all thought up and written by French author Victor Hugo in 1831. Hugo's probably best known for having written Les Misérables, the book, not the musical. But just because it's more recent doesn't mean it hasn't changed a lot in the last couple of centuries. To start with, the original wasn't written as a fairy tale. It wasn't even intended for children. It was a gothic novel for the French political class. And though the Disney film is dark, there's no denying that, Frollo has a, fair to say, pretty disturbing obsession with Esmeralda, and after trying to burn her alive is thrown from the cathedral by Quasimodo, all of which is pretty brutal. Compared to other animation of its time. Hugo's tale, though, was a lot less kind to its protagonists. In the original, Captain Phoebus becomes infatuated with Esmeralda and she by him, as in the film. But Frollo stabs Phoebus and frames it all on the gypsy girl. And though the captain survives, he believes Frollo and spits in Esmeralda's face before leaving Paris to marry another woman. And after he leaves, Esmeralda is charged with the stabbing and sentenced to hang by the neck until dead, a common method of execution. And though Quasimodo does chuck his guardian off of the cathedral, he does it because Frollo laughs at the gypsy's lifeless body as it dangles in the square. And then at the end, Quasimodo, overcome with grief, goes and lies next to Esmeralda's grave, where he starves to death. Yikes! So pretty much everyone dies, or lives out their life in an unhappy marriage. So why did Victor Hugo write such a graphic, dark novel? And why has it been turned into a classic Disney fairy tale? Well, many believe that Victor Hugo wrote this famous fiction to save Paris's beloved cathedral, to create another layer of mystery around it and stop any planned destruction. He was obsessed with Gothic architecture and famously visited the building every day for 30 years. In fact, Notre Dame is the first building to be counted as an actual character in a novel. Hugo himself referred to it as his title character rather than Quasimodo. And Hugo was aware that Gothic architecture was kind of falling out of favour. France hadn't quite entered the industrialisation of the Victorian era, but many were starting to feel that the grandeur of their old buildings was a bit much, and were discussing tearing some of them down, which terrified Hugo. And some literary historians argue that the character of Quasimodo was actually meant to represent the forgotten architecture of Paris, which he saw as being neglected and threatened. And I've got to say, Victor Hugo's plan worked. The success of the novel raised awareness and love for the cathedral around the world. And though it was already a well-known building, the story gave the cathedral a sense of intrigue that cemented its place in the fabric of Paris. Victor Hugo was also a trailblazer for breaking the stereotypes of the day. Traditionally, and you could argue this is still horribly common today, the villain in stories was the deformed man. The ugly creature, the outcast, and the social outsiders. But in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the protagonists are those dejected people, Quasimodo and Esmeralda. Not only that, but he made the true villain of his novel an archdeacon, which was pretty groundbreaking at the time. Religious men weren't often scrutinised in public, especially in a country as religious as France. The novel addressed real-life issues like prejudice, rejection, genocide, civil and political corruption, and poverty, which really makes it stand out as a literary work. So, since then, there have been 15 films based on The Hunchback of Notre Dame, dating back to 1905, but it's fair to say that none of them were created with children in mind. In fact, it wasn't even considered a fairy tale until the Disney film, which begs the question, why did Disney look to works by Victor Hugo, a famously bleak and politically active author, for inspiration for a children's film? Well, it was writer Tab Murphy who suggested the concept. He believed Disney wasn't taking the risks it used to and was becoming stale, focusing on beautiful heroes and heroines who predictably get the happy ending they deserve. He wanted to subtly weave political issues and higher moral stakes into Disney's repertoire, which he did. With suggested mass genocide, unwanted sexual advances, prejudice, body shaming, though not a mainstream term then, and discrimination. And though a risk, the film was a phenomenal success and paved the way for other dark Disney films to deal with sensitive and uncomfortable relevant topics, like Tarzan, hunting and the incarceration of animals for greed, and Lilo and Stitch, which is often overlooked, but dealt with poverty, bullying, and flaws in social care. So though this story hasn't got the remarkable background and ancient history of some of the other fairy tales we've looked at, it was a groundbreaking original novel that helped save one of France's most renowned pieces of architecture. And it was a groundbreaking Disney film, created to highlight social injustice and show, for the first time in Disney, that beauty ain't everything. So that's all for this week. I hope you found it interesting. I know it got a little bit more academic and serious today, so I hope you still enjoyed it. Next week, we're staying in France to explore the origins of Beauty and the Beast. Please check out my Instagram page, Forgotten Origins Podcast. That's all one word, Forgotten Origins Podcast, where I put up new content every week. There are also 4 designs for the upcoming merch for you to go and vote on. So go and like your favourite design, and the 2 winning pieces will be announced on Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for listening, and as always, please recommend the podcast to any friends and family you think might also enjoy the series.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.